The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Matt Fleming is an editorial board member for the Southern California News Group and a former political and legislative staffer. Thank you so much for being on the program today. It's good to have you on our show.
Hey, thank you very much.
There's a piece you write about in the Orange County Register about a lawmaker who has a plan, in fact, a piece of legislation that he's proposing to make it a requirement that we vote, kind of making voting mandatory like serving on a jury, something like that. And this kind of caught you, and you decided to write about it, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think it's important that everyone vote, but that's not really the question here. There's a difference between everyone should vote and everyone being required to vote. And once again, it just looks like Sacramento is looking to solve problems that don't exist.
Well, it's an interesting dilemma because, I mean, back when I was in civics class years ago, we talked about whether mandatory voting or participation necessarily would bring forth a better involvement or more educated level of involvement in democracy and representative government. And the question really becomes, look, there's certain people who just aren't interested, may not even have the interest base or know the issues that well. If they don't want to pollute up the voting process, I don't mind. I mean, is that harsh to say that? I mean, that's one view. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I don't think that's harsh at all. Again, I mean, I think people should vote, but being required to do it is a whole different story. And you're right. I mean, some people have elected to, for whatever reason, maybe it's just, the political process and government is too cumbersome, or, you know, they just don't care, or, you know, maybe they're just too busy doing other things and don't get around to voting. I mean, I'm sure that there's a million different reasons why people choose not to vote, and that's their right. I mean, the whole point is they have the right to not vote. I'm pretty sure that mandatory voting would violate the First Amendment anyway. I have the freedom of speech to not vote if I don't want to.
Yeah, interesting. Then you've got to ask the question, who would it help? If there were a mandatory voting, you've got to think that it's going to impact things one way or the other, and not to look at the motivation behind a lawmaker proposing something like this, but don't you kind of wonder if more people who aren't voting vote, it might slant things one way or the other?
Yeah, you know, in my research, I saw that there was no conclusive study on who this would help. There was a lot of speculation, but just personally, I think that, A, it would probably help incumbents because people could just go down the list and say, okay, this is fine, you know, and just vote for whoever's in office. And, B, I think that it would help with a lot of the ideas that come off as sort of, you know, free lunch ideas. Like, you know, when people were running for student body president and they promised the entire student body free lunch, even though it's impractical and will never happen. I mean, those kinds of things sound good. But astute voters can see right through that most of the time. So likely it would probably, as you pointed out, it would increase the electorate, but it would increase an uninformed electorate.
Yeah. There's a term that it's not a pejorative. It's just what they call low information voters. And I got to tell you a quick story. I was sitting in kind of a coffee bar, you know, where you get donuts and coffee. And there were two ladies sitting there, and they had gathered up all those mailers, the slates that come in the mail, and they were looking at them, trying to figure out to vote. And I overheard one lady say to the other, "I don't like his hair." And so I don't like his hair, and so I'm not going to vote for him. Now, this is America. You have the right to vote how you wish to vote, but I could only think that making it mandatory would further the "I don't like his hair" category. What do you think?
Well, I didn't see the hair, so perhaps it was really terrible. I don't know. But I will see that there's a study that comes out every year conducted at the University of Pennsylvania that says only 39% of American adults can name all three branches of government. And that was actually a five-year high. I mean, I just think about things like that. And if mandatory voting were to lead to everyone being more informed, that would be great. But I think a better approach would be making voting more attractive. And generally speaking, when anything becomes a requirement, it's less attractive.
Now, when you talk about making it more attractive, I did an interview a couple years back with a professor from one of the Southland colleges, and they were actually studying, should there be incentives? Should we have kind of like you get free lottery tickets with it? Or should there be prizes? Is that what you're talking about? Induce voting with some fun?
No, I'm totally not, not talking about that even a little bit. No, I mean, look, either start promoting civics at a higher level in high school and make it more interesting because, you know, Larry, you and I both agree that government politics is a very interesting topic. That's why we've chosen to, you know, pursue this with our careers. But I think for a lot of people, it's just difficult to understand because they don't have a starting point because civics has been eroded in high school. And I don't mean that as any sort of pejorative towards anyone. I mean, people pay attention to what they want to pay attention to, and it's fine if people would rather pay attention to sports or, you know, their families or whatever it is. But I think making it more attractive would be making civics more accessible. And, instead of coming up with silly ideas like whether or not we should require voting, why don't lawmakers start looking towards solving the housing crisis or, you know, the cost of living crisis or, you know, fix our middling education system in California or, you know, lower the tax burden or think of ways to make businesses more successful. I mean, there's a million things that I think affect people on a day-to-day basis that could make voting more attractive if they were talking about issues that they care about. And honestly, mandatory voting, I don't think is an issue most people care about, except for they don't probably want to have to vote.
Well, and the other thing is this piece of legislation has no teeth in it. There's no punishment
right. If
you don't do this. In fact, it leaves it to some government agency to come up with potential punishments. And, you know, I mean, there's you think the comparative they wanted to make was jury service. The, you know, jury service is a responsibility that all Americans have if you're a citizen.
Yeah.
And they put it in that same basket. I'm going to turn around to you and say, okay, if it's the same basket as jury service, why not make it mandatory? And I guess with jury service, they do on that letter say if you don't respond, you could be hit with all these thousands of dollars in fine. I've never really looked into that to see if really there is any of that actually going on enforcement. Have you?
All I know is this. The Sixth Amendment gives me the right to a trial by jury of my peers. If people aren't required to do that, I don't see how I could have access to that right. I don't see the same thing happening with the right to vote. People have the option to vote if they want to vote. People have the option of not voting if they don't want to vote. Voting is an expression of your free speech, which is guaranteed by the First Amendment. And so not submitting a ballot either in protest or simply because you're doing other things, I think, is part of your First Amendment right. And so I just think it's sort of a red herring. I don't think it's the exact or it's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Matt Fleming is editorial board member for the Southern California News Group. We're talking about one man's piece of legislation suggesting that voting be required, with quotes around that you'd have to participate. The other thing that was said about it is that technically participation could be you get your ballot and you check nothing on it and then you turn it in.
What is the point? What is the point of that? I mean, yeah, sure, fine. That's, I guess, a workaround around the First Amendment, but why are we even doing this then? If you're just going to submit a ballot that has nothing on it, what is the point of submitting the ballot in the first place? Just to get your sticker that says you voted? I mean, the whole thing is, you know, predicated on this faulty idea that the legislature needs to come up with a solution for every problem. And truthfully, I don't see this as a problem. Our democracy has gone on just fine. Voter participation is increasing as it stands, and imposing some sort of requirement that would most likely come along with some sort of democracy tax or fine or something like that just doesn't seem like I just don't understand what we're doing here. And again, I would prefer to see our legislators working on solving the homelessness crisis, solving, you know, the housing crisis, any number of problems that we talk about on a daily basis. This is not a problem on anyone's radar.
yet it is proposed, like many other of these bills. I know they're in the 500-700 range already. The cutoff for bills is coming up in just a few days, and you get some of these things, and some of them make their way through, and they get signed into law, and some get challenged in the courts, and some get tossed out, like the one that was going to force Donald Trump to have to release his taxes. You had constitutional lawyer saying, you can't do that. But there are enough lawmakers to pass that and a governor willing to sign it that it became law.
Well, it became law until it was struck down by the court. And I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, enough constitutional scholars are saying that this is unconstitutional, that Mark Levine should know that there's no point in doing this because it's unconstitutional. But, you know, from his perspective, it's all about branding. He'll get to say he's fighting for democracy, and then when the courts are struck down, he'll either have moved on to the California Senate or he'll be doing something else, and there will be no accountability. And, you know, all this is just attention seeking.
Yeah. There's certainly some bad bills out there, some things that have become law that are prompting a ton of cleanup legislation. We don't even know how that's going to go. AB5, for one, is something out there that is staring many industries, including freelance journalists, right in the face. How about that for interrupting freedom of speech? You know, we have to wait for constitutional tests of things like that to fix some of these bad laws. It's what you get, Matt, when you have one-sided government, when you don't have a balance up there, isn't it?
I think that's 100% true. Yeah, there's only one voice, and so when there's no dissenting point of view, you know, the majority gets to do whatever it wants. I don't remember, maybe it was Edmund Burke or someone talked about, you know, having the minority protected against the tyranny of the majority, and right now we don't really have that.
Matt Fleming is an editorial board member for the Southern California News Group. I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us on the program.
Thanks, Larry.
Take care. Bye-bye.